Welcome to Results Driven with Kurt High from High Value Consulting. Planning for your financial future means navigating challenges like market volatility, inflation, and retirement income. Results Driven is here to help by addressing common financial concerns, sharing valuable strategies, and exploring ways you can work toward your financial goals. Now, let's get started with Results Driven.
Good morning and welcome to Results Driven. My name is Kurt J. High from my company, High Value Consulting. And if you'd like more information about what you hear today during our show, feel free to give us a call at 484-431-2874, or you may visit us online at my new and approved website, highvalueconsulting.org. And while at my website, click on the radio page to check out previous shows, and you can subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Today, we'll be talking about behaviors that could quietly undermine everything you've worked so hard to build, and some of which catch people off guard once they get into retirement. We're going to walk through seven investment behaviors that, according to the recent article from Kiplinger, tend to hurt retirees the most. And what makes this conversation worth having is that these aren't obscure technical mistakes. They're patterns that can feel completely reasonable in the moment, but could add up to be real costly over time. Throughout the episode, we'll be drawing from the same Kiplinger article titled "These Seven Investment Behaviors That Hurt Retirees the Most, But It's Not Too Late to Change Your Ways." And once again, I'm glad to introduce my co-host, Jacqueline Gladhill, who's here with me this morning. Good morning, Jacqueline.
Good morning, Kurt. I'm so happy to be here. It's great to hear about you and, you know, just chat with you. I have a good morning when I get to be with you, Kurt. So how are you doing?
I'm doing well. And likewise, my dear friend, I'm doing a lot better. I'm feeling great. I have an announcement this morning. I have obtained a new designation through the Institute of Business and Finance. I've become a certified estate trust specialist, and I now can do and evaluate your estate plans and provide you the documents to implement trusts and wills and all that fun stuff, whether revocable, irrevocable, and to continue your legacy of your estate planning. So I'm excited about that.
Woo!
Yes. Yeah, there's the crowd. There it is. Yeah. And also, what I'm offering today is that when you do schedule an appointment and come to my office, you get a copy of my new book, High Value Consulting, a no-nonsense guide to protecting your future and retiring with confidence. So there you have it.
Wow. I mean, two huge things. I feel like you are running on the hamster wheel and you don't want to get off. It's not that you can't. You have no interest. You're like, nope, let's keep going. Let's keep getting things done. I love it. I love your energy. I love that you can just come back and be better than ever. I mean, how is that possible?
I don't know, but it is. I hate to use to say I'm reborn, but I just feel reinvigorated. And I feel very good. I'm very grateful, blessed, and thankful. And I had a great surgeon, so I'm glad and happy. And
Yes.
So I'm excited.
Yes. Very well, I mean, somehow you need to give us some of your secrets or something to this, because typically when people have surgery or, you know, they're out for a little bit, right? Mentally, physically, all of it. You come back and, you know, you're trying to get back into the groove of things. How did you just jump right in?
Well, I did listen to the doctors. I did. I did exactly what they instructed me to do. It was not easy. It was very difficult. But anything worthwhile in life is never easy. So that I always live by. So mid last week, going into the weekend, I felt I was the old Kurt's back. You know, I'm getting the wind. It was knocked out of my sails for a while. But now I feel tremendously better. And I'm glad it's behind me.
Yeah.
It was quite the experience. And it was a life experience I'll never forget. And we'll never repeat, hopefully. So let's put it that way.
Yes. Well, before we get into today's show, you know, I just want to mention to our listeners, or I guess wish them a happy July 4th. And this year is 250th anniversary, which is huge. I don't know what they call that. Is that like the golden? I don't know. What are your plans this weekend, Kurt? Are you doing anything fun?
Actually, quite frankly, the construction team's putting a new deck in my house.
Okay.
I'm hoping that it's, part of it or some of it's completed by the weekend. But a lot of construction and things getting renovated, or, you know, just things that we wanted for the house, but the builder we had, we didn't want them to do it. We have someone else that we chose to do these projects. And we're excited about that. So thank God the weather's behaving.
Yes.
It's very nice. And the weather looks good for the holiday weekend. It's going to be warm, but overall, it should be a memorable and cherishable holiday weekend.
Well, good, good, good. All right. Well, I'm wishing our, you know, listeners again, have a wonderful weekend and be safe. I know that this weekend can get a little rowdy as well, but it's fun to celebrate. And, you know, it's fun to be with family and fireworks. And I think it's honestly one of the only holidays that it's okay to shoot off fireworks and make fire and, you know.
Well, people do it on New Year's Eve too, but they get carried away. True. There's usually alcohol involved. But the 4th of July is more patriotic to do it, I believe. So
I bet. All right. Well, I am looking forward to this episode today, Kurt. You know, I think a lot of people assume that the hardest part is really just saving for retirement, right? But it sounds like what you do, you know, once you get into retirement carries its own set of challenges.
Jacqueline, it really does. And one of the things that makes this stage different is that it's the margin of error is smaller. During your working years, if you make a financial mistake, you have time and income to recover. In retirement, that cushion shrinks significantly. And that's really why behavior matters so much here. According to the research from Morningstar that's cited in this article, behavioral mistakes can cost investors an average of 1.2% annually. That might not sound dramatic, but over the long term or longer time retirement, that can really drag up. The encouraging news is that some of these missteps are behavior, which means it can be addressed. So let's work through them today. The first behavior is holding too much cash out of fear.
Well, and that one surprises me a little bit, Kurt, because, you know, the cash tends to feel safer. So what exactly is the problem with that?
Well, that's exactly the intuition, and it's understandable. After decades of being told to save and protect what you've built, having cash on hand feels like doing the right thing. And to be clear, keeping an emergency reserve is prudent. That's not really the issue. The issue is when fear pushes you to a large share of your portfolio into cash for years at a time. Because what potentially happens in the background is that inflation is slowly eroding or eating away at the purchasing power that cash does provide. And after taxes, a lot of cash yields can struggle to keep pace with inflation. So what feels like protection could actually be a slow, quiet loss. The approach that could work better is defining a clear purpose for cash. Kiplinger notes that many financial service professionals suggest holding 1 to 3 years of planned spending in cash or short-term bonds, then investing the remainder with longer-term goals in mind. The key idea is that when cash is tied to a specific time horizon, it could do what actually you want it to do, which is reduce anxiety rather than amplify it. Cash without a defined purpose has a way of growing larger and larger until it's doing more harm than good. And again, a cash reserve is paramount in a total financial plan, but having the right amount that provides peace of mind is the right answer.
Well, and that makes a lot of sense. You know, it's the difference between really a strategy and just a feeling here.
I agree with you. And that distinction runs through almost every behavior on this list. The second one is timing the market instead of staying invested.
Oh, Kurt, this one comes up a lot, especially when the markets get rocky.
Jacqueline, all the time, selling after decline can feel protective in the moment. It can feel like you're doing something smart, but in practice, it often locks in losses, increases the potential of missing the rebound. There's research from Hartford Funds cited in this article that found missing The 10 best days in a market year can reduce returns by more than half. 10 days out of the year and the years of investing, that's how significant the cost of market timing can be. Time in the market is far more important than timing the market. Mm-hmm. If you generally want to reduce risk, adjusting your allocations deliberately can serve you much better than jumping in and out based on what's dominating the news cycle or what your friend told you. Let me add an important note here. Is volatility is not the same thing as a permanent loss. They can feel identical in the moment, but they're different things. Retirement planning is largely about avoiding the combination of a portfolio decline and forced selling at the wrong time. These two things are what can create lasting damage. A decline you ride through could be very difficult or different from a decline that you lock in.
Yeah. And that means it's less about what the market does and more about what you do in response to it.
That's really a good way to put it, Jacqueline. Your behavior during volatility matters enormously. And we'll come back to the idea when we get to the behavior number 6. But first, number 3, ignoring tax efficiency in withdrawals.
Well, and that feels like one that people might not think about until, sadly, Kurt, it's too late.
Jacqueline, it is. And that's part of what makes it so costly. Not all retirement dollars are taxed the same way. Money in taxable brokerage accounts, traditional IRAs, and Roth IRAs behave totally different when you take it out. And in the order which you draw these accounts down could have a significant impact what you actually keep after taxes. A general approach that works well for some retirees is to start with taxable assets. Then coordinate tax-deferred withdrawals and try to preserve Roth flexibility for later years when at all possible. That kind of sequence can help reduce lifetime taxes over a long retirement. But the right approach is personal. There's no single answer that works for everybody because everyone's income mix, account balance, and family situations are different. What potentially matters is having a plan in place, again, a financial plan in place, before required minimum distributions kick in and before Medicare premium surcharges start complicating the picture. Waiting until these things arrive to think about the tax strategy could leave fewer options on the table.
Yeah, absolutely. But Kurt, when you say RMDs and Medicare premiums can complicate things, what do you mean exactly by that?
Jacqueline, that's a great question. The article explains that required minimum distributions are withdrawals that the IRS requires you take from a tax-deferred account once you reach a certain age. They're mandatory, and they count as taxable income. If you haven't thought ahead, these distributions can push you into a higher tax bracket. And because Medicare B and Part D premiums are income-based, higher income in retirement could mean higher premiums as well. Accordingly, the planning you do or don't do in your early retirement years could have ripple effects a decade down the road. Even a fairly simple plan could be meaningful here. Decide in advance which accounts are for baseline spending, which are for larger one-time expenses, and which are for long-term backstop. Having the structure in place can give you something to work with rather than making those decisions under pressure.
All right, Kurt, so that's number 3. What's number 4 on the list?
Jacqueline, number 4, chasing yield without understanding the risk. And this one could be especially tempting when interest rates are low, markets feel uncertain, and a high distribution rate looks appealing. It looks like stability, but yield is not a free lunch. In terms of fixed income, prioritizing yield without understanding what's underneath could mean taking on credit risk, interest rate risk, or concentration risk, which doesn't reveal itself until things go horribly wrong. And investing, things tend to go wrong at the worst possible time. A more durable lens is total return. Income matters, but so does the stability of principal and the tax treatment of what you receive. The article helpfully points out that if a holding described as high income could drop 20% in a bad year, that income may not be a safety net that it appears to be. The goal is reliable funding on the long run, not just a high distribution rate in the short term. These two things are not always the same.
Well, and it sounds like the headline number, you know, can really mask what's actually going on underneath it. Really the truth, Kurt.
Yeah, I think you nailed it, Jacqueline. And it's a good reminder that investing, when someone looks significantly better than something else, that could be a reason. The question is whether you understand the reason and whether you're comfortable with the potential trade-offs it represents. So before we keep going, let me give you our contact information so that you can give us a call at 484-431-2874. Or you may visit us at my new and improved website, highvalueconsulting.org, to schedule a consultation and get a copy of my book, High Value Consulting. We're always here to work with you and work with your schedule. We'd be glad to review your current situation and give you some ideas of how we can help.
Well, thank you, Kurt. And, you know, as we continue this conversation, I know there's a lot that we have discussed and more to come. So what is behavior number 5 on this list, Kurt?
Failing to rebalance consistently. The one is quieter than some of the others, but it may feel like a decision, which is part of what makes it easy to overlook. But without rebalancing, risk drifts in ways that may not be immediately obvious. After bull markets, portfolios could become more stock heavy than intended. After downturns, some people find themselves more conservative than their plan calls for. Either way, what you thought you had in terms of risk exposure may no longer match what you actually have. Research from Vanguard cited in this article suggests that systemic rebalancing can help maintain intended risk levels, improve outcomes over time, and doesn't have to be complicated. Some retirees rebalance annually or whenever allocations drift past a predetermined threshold. Set the threshold, set a reminder, and make it routine rather than reactive. It's better to be proactive than reactive. There's also a practical connection to withdrawal strategies here. If you're regularly pulling money out of the portfolio for living expenses, those withdrawals could be used to rebalance in a tax-aware way. For example, drawing an overweight area to fund spending potentially reduces the need for separate rebalancing trades. It's a way of accomplishing two things at once.
That's a great way to look at it. So in the end, you know, rebalancing and withdrawals don't have to be the separate decisions. They could potentially work together here, Kurt.
Jacqueline, they could. And that kind of coordination could come at from having a plan where all the pieces talk to each other rather than managing each piece in isolation. Behavior 6 is overreacting to short-term news. And this circles back to what we talked about earlier with market timing.
I think I can see where this one's going. And this one truly feels very human. You know, it's hard not to pay attention to what's happening in the markets.
It's completely human. It's like nature, you know. And the article acknowledges that directly. Retirees who monitor their portfolios daily could feel more stress and more reactive decisions. That's not surprising. When you're watching something move, the instinct is to respond to it. An approach could be more practical is to establish a consistent review schedule, something like a quarterly or semi-annual check-in or checkup, and pair it with a written plan that spells out what you need to do during these periods of volatility. The article specifically mentions a written investment policy statement as a tool that can provide you the structure you need. It can give you something to return to when emotions are running high. A set of decisions you make when you're calm can guide you far better than when you're not. The goal is to make decisions when you're clear-headed and when you find yourself wanting to do something because the markets are down. That's generally a signal to return back to your plan, revisit it, revisit the goals, and ask whether any of these fundamental goals or objectives have changed. Most of the time, it hasn't. Most of the time, the right answer is to stay the course. I say that time and time again.
Yeah, I can see a common theme here, Kurt, is don't react, you know, be proactive. And also, I think headlines and media, right? They do a lot of damage to our well-being, our portfolio, so many things. And there's value in having a document that you created during a calm moment that you could also refer back to when things do feel uncertain and your emotions are high.
That's a great way to frame it, Jacqueline. It's almost like a letter to your future self that spells out what I believe, here's what I've decided, and here's what I'll do and what I won't do. Having that writing down, she takes a lot of the pressure off in the moment. And it leads to the this number seven, which is neglecting to adjust strategy over time. And again, having a comprehensive plan is the game plan. It's the I help people stay in their lane. And when we always revisit, they go, yeah, I remember. Okay, let's stay the course.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's having a plan going into anything, right? I mean, if you go into surgery, you have a plan. You have a will or a trust or something for if something were to go wrong, because you don't want to be making decisions in that crisis mode. And so what you're saying is, you know, this number seven, neglecting to adjust your strategy over time. This one seems like it could sneak up on people. You know, your situation changes, but again, maybe your portfolio doesn't.
That's exactly what can happen. The portfolio that made sense at 65 may not be the right fit at 75 or 85. Time horizon can change and will change. Spending needs can change, and they do as well. So can healthcare changes and health conditions. And the allocation that was appropriate at one stage of retirement may not carry too much weight as it does the risk of the later stage of life. There are general rules of thumb for this. The article mentions one called the 100 minus your age rule, which means the rough idea is how much you should hold in stock versus more conservative investments. So you take 100, you take your age, you minus it, and you get whatever that difference is. Like a 60-40, 70-30, whatever that balance. Rules like that are blunt, and the article acknowledges as much. But the underlying idea is useful. Revisit your allocations periodically. Adjust them based on what your actual cash flow needs look like now and not what makes sense 5 or 10 years ago. It could help to revisit what different part of your portfolio are meant to do. Some assets are for spending. Some are for legacy. Some are meant to serve as a buffer against the possibility of a long life. Those roles can shift as time goes on, and the allocations should be able to shift with them. What that could look like in practice is a periodic review, maybe annual, where you can sit down and ask some honest questions. How's my spending changed? Has my health changed? Do you have any more or less time horizon than you thought you did a few years ago? Are the goals that I have now when I first retire the same as they are today? Retirement isn't a fixed destination. It's a constant moving target, and the plan should move with it.
Ooh, it sounds like retirement isn't a set it and forget it situation. You know, unlike maybe some other parts of our automated lives.
And I think that's one of the most important things we could say today. People spend decades focusing on accumulation, on building the nest egg, as they say. But managing that nest egg through retirement could require ongoing attention and the willingness to adjust as life changes. And here's what I want to bring this all together, because all seven of these behaviors share a common theme, a common thread.
And Kurt, what's that?
Having a plan, having a financial plan, staying committed to it, and also reviewing it on an annual basis or semi-annual basis. Also have someone in your corner who can help you do both of these things. Because what the research behind the article makes clear is the biggest risk retirees face can often be behavior. It's all about behavior. It's not about picking the wrong stock or missing a market trend that could be holding too much cash because it feels safe, or selling when fear takes over, or not rebalancing when you felt it's urgent, or not adjusting as life changes. Each of these behaviors on its own can seem manageable, but it can compound, and in retirement, when there's less time and less income to recover, mistakes, compounding errors matter the most.
And that matters just as much as the numbers here, Kurt. You know, I think truthfully, we hear all the time numbers and data, and, you know, that's what we think of finance, what we think of our retirement plan financially. But at the end of the day, there's so much that goes into it emotionally and with your behaviors. And it's so important to, you know, also justify that and keep that into consideration for your retirement plan. Because Kurt, we make jokes about it, but essentially you're someone's financial advisor, you're an educator, you're a therapist, you are a family counselor sometimes. You know, you play all of those different roles because emotions and behavior go they're such a significant part of that retirement plan.
And it could, because in my opinion, an experienced financial service professional isn't just helping you pick investments. It can help you stay the course when your instincts are telling you to do something else. Again, I share with clients, never get emotional about money. Never get emotional about stocks. This could be checking in periodically to make sure your allocations still reflect where you actually are in life and not where you were when you first retired. That kind of ongoing relationship could be worth its weight in gold a great deal. Not just in terms of outcomes, though the research suggests that could be meaningful, but in terms of the sense of security, knowing that someone is watching the big picture alongside with you and you're not navigating this alone, potentially changes how you experience retirement.
Well, and like I said earlier, it matters just as much as the numbers.
You hit the bullseye with that comment, Jacqueline. Finally, the article actually closes with a simple framework that I think is worth sharing. You set a cash reserve that matches real spending needs. Commit to an allocation you can live with during a downturn. Build a withdrawal plan that considers taxes. And let me just reflect on the cash reserve. When I run financial plans, and I've been doing this for 35 years, the plan will come back with a number. It's like usually 3 to 6 months when you're working of income or expenses, whatever floats your boat. But it's whatever gives you peace of mind is the right answer. Mm-hmm. I have experienced in my life, in my career, clients that can live with $10,000. I have a client that needs $500,000 in cash, even though he knows he doesn't need that, but it gives him and his wife peace of mind. That's the bottom line, whatever gives you peace of mind. So, but you rebalance on a schedule, review your portfolio less often than your emotions may want you to. The last one's harder than it sounds, but it can be important. And if we're here to do one thing, it's just writing down the plan while markets are calm and then use it as your decision filter when they're not. That's a simple advice, but it can be powerful. Having a written plan and following the plan can be what separates people who stay the course from people who don't. And if any of this resonates with you where you are right now, if you'd like a second set of eyes on your retirement plan, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 484-431-2874 or visit us on our, again, new and approved website from Lucid Media, highvalueconsulting.org, to schedule a complimentary consultation, which I will also give you a copy of my new book once we give you a review of your current situation.
Before we go, I'm going to do a quick recap for our listeners here. These are the things that we, you know, think that maybe you should focus on. So the 7 investment behaviors that could be hurting those retirees. 1, holding too much cash out of fear. 2, timing the market instead of staying invested. 3, ignoring tax efficiency in withdrawals. 4, chasing yields without understanding the true risk. 5, failing to rebalance consistently. 6, overreacting to that short-term news. And 7, neglecting to adjust your strategy as life changes. So thank you to everyone listening today. Thank you, Kurt, and I'll see you next time.
Yeah, and everybody have a safe and enjoyable 4th of July and happy 250th anniversary to the United States of America. Thank you, Jacqueline, and have a great weekend.
Thank you for joining us for Results Driven. Don't head into retirement without a plan for both your finances and your health. For more information, contact Kurt High at High Value Consulting at 484-431-2874 or visit highvalueconsulting.org. Join us again soon for another episode of Results Driven.
Investment advisory services are offered through Virtue Capital Management, an SEC-registered investment advisor. High Value Consulting and VCM are independent of each other.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.